يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of the earliest of revelations that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, perhaps the 9th or the 10th surah that ever came down was Surah Al-Sharh, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. And this surah was revealed because when our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced persecution from the Quraysh, when his own family, when his own kith and kin abandoned him, when he faced anger, ridicule, sarcasm from the very people that he expected to be supported by, he felt that perhaps something was wrong, that perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal was not happy with him, that perhaps Allah had left him, because if Allah loved him, why would life be so difficult? If Allah loved him, why would life be so difficult? Surely if Allah loves you, then everything will be rosy and green. Surely if Allah loves you, you're not going to face any hardship in life. And so our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was yet a new prophet, he was barely a prophet for a few months now, the wahi had just began a few months ago, so he still was not fully cognizant, was not fully aware of everything, and this is the only time he felt this way, by the way. After the surah was revealed, these feelings left him forever. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt, perhaps my Lord has abandoned me. Perhaps there's something wrong with me. Perhaps he's displeased with me. So Allah revealed two surahs, Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Sharh. And of course, Surah Al-Duha is another topic of the khutbah where Allah says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ مَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not abandoned you, nor does He hate you. In today's khutbah, I want to illustrate a little bit about Surah Al-Sharh. Why? Because Surah Al-Sharh explains to us a very basic fact of life. And that is that your problems and woes, your fitan, your trials and tribulations of this dunya are not linked to Allah's pleasures. That Allah can love you and Allah will love you and you will still face difficulties and trials. And in fact, it is a sign of Allah's love that you will face trials in this world. And this surah explains that to us. So remember, the reason why this surah was revealed, we can say, to be a little bit modern here, that the Prophet was facing somewhat of a depressing attitude, that why is life so difficult? Why is life so bitter? Why are my own people abandoning me? So to change this situation, Allah reveals Surah Al-Sharh to change that pessimism into optimism, to change that negativity into a positive energy. How did this happen in a few ayat? Let us go over every ayat and see what is the meaning of this surah. The surah begins with three rhetorical questions. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Question number one. Didn't we open up your chest? Didn't we open up your chest? The meaning of open up the chest is an Arabic expression. Just like in English we have caught red-handed. Doesn't mean the hand is red. There's an expression. Sharah al-sadr means bring you peace and comfort. This is the meaning of sharah al-sadr. Didn't we comfort you? How? By giving you Islam. Because the ultimate comfort is knowing what is your purpose in life. Knowing why am I here. Knowing who is my creator. How do I worship him? And so the primary meaning of sharah al-sadr is Islam. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Give the example of the one whose heart we open to Islam. شَرَحَ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. So أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Didn't we comfort you by giving you Islam? You didn't know what was Islam. As Allah says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know what was the book and what was Iman. You didn't know it until Allah revealed. وَلَكَنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا. Allah gave that nur to you. So now you know what is Allah, what is the Quran, what is the purpose of life, how do you worship Allah. Before this, you were wondering, you were going to Ghar Hira, you were contemplating, you did not know how to worship Allah. Didn't we give you this knowledge? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. And did we not lift the burden that was causing your back to stoop down? The reference here, scholars say, could be many different things. One of the meanings is, have we not forgiven your sins? As Allah says in the Quran, that لِيَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, so that Allah can forgive all of your sins. And the sins, they weigh your back down. They will burden you on the Day of Judgment. And as for our Prophet ﷺ, all of his sins are forgiven. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Did we not raise your status? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Our Lord says, you have the most perfect akhlaq and manners. Did we not raise your status? Ibn Abbas said, never is Allah mentioned except that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned right after him. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You always mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after mentioning Allah. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. So, our Lord is asking three questions. Number one, didn't we guide you to Islam? Number two, didn't we forgive your sins? Number three, didn't we make you such a high rank and position? Why these questions? What is the purpose of these questions? Well, the question is, why ask rhetorical questions? What does the rhetorical question do? A rhetorical question is a question that is already known. You know the answer. You don't need to think of an answer. The rhetorical question is asked to emphasize that which is already known to you. So Allah is reminding him of three things that apparently he's not thinking of at the time. Number one, we gave you Islam. Number two, we forgave your sins. Number three, we gave you this legacy. Why these questions? How could you think Allah doesn't like you? How could you think Allah has abandoned you? How could you think your Lord is displeased with you when you have all of these blessings? And this leads us to a very important point in our own lives. Whenever something negative happens to us, and all of us face negatives, from our family, to our social situation, to national issues, to international issues, to our source of risk, we might have financial problems. We all face problems. When we face a problem, these three questions remind us. The first thing we need to do, remind ourselves of the positives of life. Think about what Allah has given, not about what Allah has not given. Concentrate on the positive. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, I swear by Allah, no matter what problem you're having, you have so many blessings that you're not thinking about. Suppose you're facing financial problems. Perhaps Allah has blessed you with beautiful children that you love and who love you. When you think about this, alhamdulillah, perhaps you're facing health issues. Well, Allah might have blessed you with a family, a loving wife or parents. Perhaps you're facing a death in the family. Then you have good health. Whatever might be this situation, for every negative, you will be able to think of multiple positives in your life. And this is what Allah is reminding our Prophet ﷺ, that look at all of this good that we gave you. Another benefit, these three good deeds, if you really think about them, no doubt the verse is addressed to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ directly. But take this as a general rule, brothers and sisters. Take it as a general rule. Every blessing given to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is indirectly a blessing for us as well. Why? Because we are his ummah, walillahi alhamd. We are his ummah. So every blessing given to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is no doubt infinitesimally, very small amount, but still, every blessing given to him, it is also our blessing. I apologize, I have a bit of a flu infection. Think about it. These three blessings. Number one, Islam. Don't we also have the blessing of Islam? Through him. Number two, sins being forgiven. Are not our sins forgiven when we follow his sunnah? Number three, رَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Every one of us, if we truly obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will have an eternal legacy. That Allah will remember us. That in the Akhirah, as Allah says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Right? That الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Money and children, you like it, it's good. But الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ, the good deeds that you do, these are what will last eternally. So, what is a real dhikr? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. What is a real legacy? It's not your money and children. It's not structures that you build. It's not legacies of this dunya. ورفعنا لك ذكرك. The real ذكر that Allah will remember you by is that which is eternal, and that is good deeds. And therefore, these three blessings, the blessing of Islam, the blessing of having a sin-free life or sins forgiven, and the blessing of having a real legacy, every one of us can achieve it throughout our lives, regardless of every other factor, regardless of family and friends, regardless of money, regardless of job situation. These three blessings are independent of the dunya. They are dependent on Allah directly. And every one of us can maximize these three blessings: Islam, forgiveness of sins, and the real legacy for the akhirah. And so our Prophet Muhammad is being reminded, these are the real blessings. Look at these blessings. So what if your family criticizes you? So what if the Quraysh are sarcastic? When you have Islam and they don't, when you have forgiveness and they don't, when you have the real dhikr and the maqam and they don't, these are the real blessings to concentrate on. And brothers and sisters, every one of us, these three blessings is a part of our lives as well, because we are from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the surah begins with these three rhetorical questions. And the purpose of these three questions is, look at the positive. And the positive you have is something they will never have. And the positives you have are the real positives. They're the real purpose of life. Every other blessing is a temporary blessing. Whether it is health, whether it is wealth, whether it is family, these three blessings are the real blessing. You have them, I have them. Didn't Allah give them to you? That's the purpose of these three ayat. So, what is the next verse then? Now that our Prophet has been reminded of these eternal blessings that he will always have, then what? Fa inna ma'al usri yusran, inna ma'al usri yusran. The fa here, harfu ta'qib. The fa here means therefore. Therefore. Therefore meaning, now that you realize that Allah loves you, that Allah has given you so many blessings, now that you realize this, now realize another thing. This is the fa over here. That now that you understand that Allah loves you and you have these blessings, then realize, I'll explain to you why you're facing problems in this world. No, Ya Rasulullah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. إِنَّ, of course, is حَرْفُ تَوْكِيدٍ وَنَصْبٍ, which is a harf, which is meant for emphasis. It's an emphasizing. Therefore, know for sure, that إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every single difficulty, Allah Azza wa Jal also has ease with it. And then to emphasize the point, he repeats the ayah, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Now, number of points here. And again, I have to emphasize this, a short khutbah. Of course, this surah deserves much longer attention, but time does not permit me to go into every single detail. Realize, Allah is saying that this is a difficulty you're facing. He called it a difficulty. What is the difficulty? Problems, societal problems, pressure, rejection, sarcasm, ridicule. This is the usr. This is the difficulty. So he called it a difficulty. He didn't trivialize it. He didn't say, ignore it, don't worry about it. No, you're not going to solve a problem by ignoring it. It is a problem. But what Allah is saying, this is a problem. But realize one thing, Ya Rasulullah. Never do you have an usr except that Allah will give you yusr along with it. Now the point here, Allah says, ma'a al-usr, not ba'd al-usr. Yes, it is true in other verses in the Quran, سَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. It is true that Allah is saying, after every difficulty, there will also be ease. This is a Quranic rule. Memorize it. After difficulty, there will be ease. But my dear brothers and sisters, in this surah, it is not after. In this surah, it is ma'a, alongside. What does this mean? Never. Listen to this, brothers and sisters, never does Allah send down something that is difficult for you except that alongside it, simultaneous to it, contemporaneous with it, is another qadr that is good for you. And this is directly from the Quran. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Never does Allah send down an usr except that along with it, there is a yusr. The problem is, me and you, we don't think of the good. We only think of our health when we don't have health. We have a headache, we think how beneficial we were to have health. We only think of money when we don't have money. We don't think of the positives, we only think of the negatives. And so Allah is saying, I am telling you, Ya Rasulullah, that never does an usr come except that I have a yusr, which is an ease along with it. Another benefit here. Notice a little bit of Arabic grammar here. The usr is with the alif lam, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. And then the yusr is nakira, which is without the alif lam, yusra. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ. And to be very simplistic, not to go into an Arabic grammar tangent here, what this means is, for every specific difficulty, one difficulty, al-usr, there will be multiple yusrs. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. One yusr, إِنَّ مَعَ the same usr, yusr another yusr. So this verse is saying, listen to me carefully now, for every one usr, for every one difficulty, at least two yusrs come down. Ibn Abbas said, one usr will always be beaten by two yusrs. This is what Ibn Abbas said. One difficulty will always lose in the face of two good deeds or two blessings. Two blessings. Never does Allah try you with one trying situation, with one difficulty, except that along with that difficulty, at the same time as the difficulty, Allah will open up at least two doors of mercy. At least. And the nakira could imply more than two, by the way. Those who understand Arabic grammar, nakira here, فَإِنَّ مَعْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Nakira means you can have multiple yusr. 2, 3, 4, 200, 2,000. The point being, for every one difficulty, Allah will give you multiple ease. So our Prophet is being consoled. Ya Rasulullah, don't worry. I know it's difficult, but Allah has revealed multiple blessings along with these difficulties. فَإِنَّ مَعْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَى. إِنَّ مَعْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Next time, brothers and sisters, you face a difficulty in life, next time you face a problematic situation, remind yourself of this verse. That along with this problematic situation, Allah has revealed blessings. Let me think about those blessings. Because we don't think of blessings, we take them for granted. We don't appreciate blessings until they're taken away from us. As long as we have them, we take them for granted. The minute they're gone, that's when we realize how important those blessings were. So our Prophet is being told, Ya Rasulullah, you have so many yusrs, and every time a difficulty will come, I will give you even more yusr. And this is something to console our hearts. Then what does Allah tell our Prophet? فَإِنَّ مَعْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَ. إِنَّ مَعْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Three words. One of the famous scholars of Tafsir, Al-Tahir ibn Ashur, he said, these three words are of the most eloquent and of the most jami' or the most comprehensive of words in the whole Quran. They have so many meanings. They have so many meanings, we cannot talk about all of them in the short khutbah. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ can have many, many meanings. We'll only talk about two or three of them. The first meaning, the meaning of نَصَبَ, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when you finish. فَرَغْتَ, when you finish. When you have spare time, فَارِغْ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when you finish what you were doing, فَانْصَبْ. فَانْصَبْ can have many meanings. Linguistically, نَصَبَ means to stand tall and erect. Or nasaba means to plant in the ground. Nasaba, you nasaba a flag. You plant it in the ground. Right? This is what nasaba means. So, one of the meanings of nasaba is to raise your hands for dua. Because you are raising your hands up. So, meaning number one, when you finish doing whatever you're doing, make sure you pray to Allah to bless it. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Don't forget about the spiritual element of whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, when you finish doing it, فانصب, ask Allah to bless you in it. A second meaning, which is very similar, فانصب is to stand in salah. So when you finish your daily routine, then stand in salah at night. When you finish your daily chores, don't forget about your nasaba, your qiyam al-layl. Don't forget about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the point here, it's a very beautiful verse, as Al-Tahir ibn Ashur points out, that Allah did not tell our Prophet exactly what to do to respond to the problem of his time. In other words, he didn't tell him, go to so-and-so, do this and that. Rather, he left it open. Go do your work, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. You have to do one chore. You have to keep on doing it. A third meaning, by the way, I forgot to mention, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. The third meaning When you finish one deed, thumbs up, go stand up and do another deed. Always be proactive. When you finish one technique to stop them criticizing, to stop the hassle, to stop the intimidation, go try another technique. When you finish one tactic, try another tactic. In other words, you don't have time to relax. You don't have time to live a chilled life. You don't have time to just have a lifelong vacation. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Always be productive. Always do something useful. Don't just go home and sleep and chill and do nothing. Of course, we have to sleep to live our lives, but I'm saying, have a productive life. Once you finish plan A, move on to plan B. When you've done plan B, try plan C. Now you've done plan C, your whole life is going to be فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Do one, then something else. Then do this, then do that. So all of these meanings are valid, by the way. So meaning number one, pray to Allah. Meaning number two, make dua to Allah. Meaning number three, keep on having different plans. So from this we derive so many benefits. Ya Muslimun, O Muslims, think about this. Every time you have a problem, Allah is telling you, keep on trying to solve it. Don't just sit home and say, tawakkal ala Allah, Allah will solve it from up above. No, Allah will solve it from up above if you put in the effort. Allah will solve it from up above if you show Him you're interested in a solution. Rizq will not come to you from rain, just onto your house, money's gonna fall. Children will not come until you get married and get a job and procreate. It's not gonna happen like this. You need to have a vision and a goal and a plan, and then you need to strive to get to that plan. This is فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. فَانْصَبْ, keep on trying another plan. Plan A failed, move on to plan B. Plan B failed, move on to plan C. And as you're doing all of these plans, don't forget, the plan itself is important, but just as important is the relationship with Allah. When you finish plan A, make sure you make dua to Allah to bless plan A. Then move on to plan B. Make sure you ask Allah to do plan B. And make sure along with all of this, that you are saying your fansab, your salah. And this is another problem we have, that suppose we want rizq and money. Well, many of us, we will concentrate on the degree, on the job, on the business. We will neglect our spiritual relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will neglect what we need to do on the other side. If Allah has not willed it, it's not going to happen. We need to have both plans, the spiritual plan and the physical plan. The physical plan, I need to get an education. I need to get a job. I need to have a good resume. This is the physical plan. There's a spiritual side as well. I need to be a good Muslim. I need to have my salah established. I need to make regular dua. I need to make sure that Allah is pleased with me. Then He's going to give me what I want through these plans. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Deen and dunya combined. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And throughout all of this, always have your ultimate goal and desire be to your Lord. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Your raghba, your desire, your goal should always be to your Lord. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And if you do this, Ya Rasulullah, and this is a beautiful point here, if you truly have your ultimate goal, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the problems of this world automatically become secondary to you. When your pleasure is linked to Allah and not to the dunya, when your goal becomes Allah and the pleasure of Allah, that is your ultimate goal, then who cares if the Quraysh criticize you? Who cares if you don't get that particular job that you wanted? Who cares if you don't get the $1 million you want? Who cares? He who has Allah has everything. And he who doesn't have Allah, doesn't matter how much he has nothing. So our Prophet is being reminded very subtly here, not directly, very subtly. Don't link your happiness and pleasures to the Quraysh and the response of the Quraysh. Put your raghba, put your hope and goals in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do that, then you will be successful regardless of the situation on earth. And this is a beautiful point here. We can apply it to any situation. Any situation. Even if you don't get what you want in this dunya, if you have your pleasure, Allah, and the goal of pleasing Allah, you will get that goal. And that is the ultimate goal of every Muslim. In this surah, brothers and sisters, our Prophet is being reminded of some very simple facts. Fact number one, always look on the bright side. Always look at the positive. Fact number two, the blessings that every one of us have are infinitely more compared to the blessings of those who don't have religion, who don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you have as a Muslim, which is Islam, which is forgiveness of sins, which is knowing your purpose in life, which is knowing your Creator, which is a real legacy of Jannah. This is a real treasure. Who cares about the rest of these treasures that they go after? Fact number three. Yes, life is full of problems. The Quran didn't say, Surah Ash-Shura didn't say, if you put your faith in Allah, you're not going to have any problems in life. No. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ The usr is there. The usr is existent. No matter how pious you are, life is still going to be problematic. But if you truly have taqwa, if you truly have iman in Allah, then for every usr, there will be multiple yusrs. For every difficulty, there will be multiple ease. So, fact number four, what do you do then? What should you do? For every situation, you need to have your plans. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ Think about what I can do to better the situation. But as you do these points, the next point, make sure you have a relationship with Allah. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're making dua. Make sure you're asking Allah to bless you in that plan. And the final fact of the surah, the final benefit of the surah, throughout all of this, don't make the dunya your ultimate goal. Don't make the Quraysh in this case. Don't make your business. Don't make the pleasure of. And don't make this dunya the ultimate goal. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ Make the ultimate goal the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you follow these points, Ya Rasulullah, if we follow these points, then, wallahi, brothers and sisters, we will benefit the way that the Prophet benefited. Never after this surah did he feel depressed. Never after the surah did he feel my Lord has abandoned me. Never after the surah was he pessimistic. The surah gave him a sense of optimism, a sense of proactivism, a sense of always doing something. After the surah was revealed, for the rest of his prophethood, the Prophet ﷺ never went back to those thoughts that he had before the surah was revealed. And similarly, we too, through the surah, can eliminate these evil thoughts and have a good thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu bi rabbil fatar al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد Brothers and sisters, this is my first time in the city of Edmonton, and I was told that this masjid that I'm giving the khutbah at, Masjid al-Rashid, is the first masjid built in Canada, maybe even in all of North America. And this is a great honor and a great privilege for me to be able to speak in this masjid. And I was told that this masjid, the first khutbah ever given in this Masjid al-Rashid, was by the famous translator Abdullah Yusuf Ali back in 1935 or something, I forgot the exact date. And this is a very historic masjid because of this. And it's a very big honor for me to be standing on a symbolic pulpit or minbar that Abdullah Yusuf Ali stood on. And you here in the city of Edmonton should be very proud that here is a masjid that has been operating for over 80, 85 years now, alhamdulillah. And this is a very positive sign. Look at all of the negative things that must have happened for the Muslims for the last 8 decades. And yet, alhamdulillah, the community is now thriving. The Muslims are now flourishing. And this goes back directly to this surah that فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا I don't know how many people prayed here when Abdullah Yusuf Ali gave the khutbah, but I do not think it would have been more than 10, 15 Muslims in Edmonton. And in my humble opinion, back in the 1932, 33, probably not even 10 Muslims. They could never have imagined that one day there would be over 50 or 40,000 Muslims in the whole city. There would be over 15 masajid. That the very masjid that there are only 10 people, now there are over 2, 3,000 people. And inshallah, this is just the beginning. That inshallah, the next generation, there will be another khatib of a next generation coming. And he will talk about the 150th anniversary and the 200th anniversary. And the population will be not just 2, 3, but inshallah, 20, 30,000. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا And it is also very humbling and symbolic for me to be standing here today on the first of Muharram of the new year of the Islamic calendar. The first of Muharram of the new year of the Islamic calendar, which fits in perfectly with the khutbah itself. And that is the sign of optimism. That is to always look at the bright side. That inshallah, the future will be better. That as Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Duha, the other surah that was revealed because of the same reason. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. That the akhirah here doesn't just mean the next world. It also means tomorrow. The future will be better than the past yesterday. And this ayah, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, it signifies that the believer by nature is an optimist. That the believer at heart always thinks, tomorrow is going to be better. Tomorrow, this year is going to be better. Next year is going to be even better. That the morning brings up a new dawn. And the new dawn brings more opportunities. And today is the first day of Muharram. The first day of Muharram. 1 year has gone. Another year is in front of us. Every one of us should take account of the last year. Look at the negative things that we've done. Look at the positives that we've done. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before Allah will take account of you. And then set a plan, set a goal, set an agenda. This year, inshallah, will be better for me. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, religiously, in every single element and aspect, I will be a better person. I will be more proactive. I will be better with my family. I will spend more time in the masjid. I will make sure my salawat are on time. Every one of us, we have to have this positive attitude towards ourselves, towards our families, towards our community, and most importantly, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, that I will treat my servant the way that he assumes I will treat him. If my servant has positive thoughts of me, then I will fulfill those positive thoughts. And if my servant has stingy, negative thoughts, well then, if that's what he thinks of me, then that's what he's going to get. This hadith shows us, brothers and sisters, that حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ, thinking good thoughts of Allah, is a sign of Iman. Every one of us, today is the first of Muharram. We've all had problems last year. I've had problems, you've had problems. Life is problematic. You're not going to have life without problems. This year, we have a positive attitude. We will say, whatever those problems were, we're going to turn over a new leaf. We will have plans, plan A, B, C, D, to solve those problems. We'll make dua to Allah. We'll have a spiritual relationship with Allah. And inshallah, this year will be better than last year. And the year after this will be even better than this year. This is the attitude of the Muslim. And that Allah will give me better today. And He's going to give me even better tomorrow. Our Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will treat you the way you think He will treat you. Allah will deal with you the way you think He's going to deal with you. So if you have positive thoughts of Allah, Allah will forgive me. Allah will be generous. Allah will do this and that. As long as you have a good relationship with Him, then He will have a good relationship with you. As long as you are righteous, you are making dua, you are praying, and you have good thoughts of Allah, then inshallah as well, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill those positive thoughts. Today, on the first of Muharram, every one of us should have this attitude towards the upcoming year, towards our future life, that inshallah ta'ala, things will be better for me, my family, my relatives, my loved ones, for every problem that we're facing. And always, remember, always, brothers and sisters, the ultimate goal, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. That's the ultimate goal. Have your raghbah, have your heart attached up there, not down here. Once you attach your heart up there, then this world, it becomes secondary for you, and you will live happily, you will live despite all of the problems. If your pleasure is linked with the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then all of these issues and problems will become secondary, and this life and the akhirah will be easier and better and at our grasp. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those righteous people. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la ta'ala fi hadhihi al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wal ikhwan الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي الحديث: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر، وأقم الصلاة.